Hi guys, Yules is here. Welcome to a brand new episode, as Rashida will always say, of the Chill Sisters podcast. This one,
What did we
see,
talk about,
guys,
you sis?
it was a triggering one all through. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. I don't want to spill anything. Enjoy. Are we supposed to say enjoy when you triggered people all through the episode, Rashida?
They should enjoy and they should learn one or two.
Learn one or two.
Hello, boys and girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Chill Sisters podcast. My name is Rashida.
And I'm Ilse's lad. Welcome. Good morning, good evening, good night. Welcome, guys.
Good whatever from wherever you're listening. You sis.
How far?
How was your week?
My week was good, alhamdulillah. I'm back in Abuja and I met this lovely chef kiss weather. Living Maiduguri, extremely hot. Then I came to Abuja and it's cold. Like, it's cold. It's actually cold.
Yeah.
So I loved it. And it rained. Fantastic. Came back.
Can you see my weather? Very sunny.
Oh, it's sunny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No wonder you are cheerful today.
I'm not gloomy. Yeah. Happy days.
Oh, thank God.
The weather is beautiful. The sky is blue. The sun is shining. Beautiful weather.
Nah,
don't ask me. I didn't do anything this week. It was just, you know, those kind of slow week. That was what this week
oh,
was.
More. It was hot. In Maiduguri, like the temperature was getting hotter before I left. Like, they are like,
yeah.
Oh, madam, just pack and go.
Very
thing is, it's home now. No, I will just be indoors.
Yeah,
and the good thing is, there's constant light in Maiduguri, so I'll be in. You not see me out. If I'm going out, then it's really, really necessary for me to go out. You know, I know they go anywhere.
Yeah.
So the time that I went out, that's when I was like, Kai, what? On Wednesday, I had to go out very early in the morning, around 8-ish. Rashida, the sun was hot like 12. I said, today is going to be burning. If by 8 it was that hot, it was getting worse. So I think, alhamdulillah, I left at the right time. I already miss Maiduguri. See, the problem with Maiduguri is I'm complaining to you about the weather. But once you leave, you miss it. That's Maiduguri for you. A good week.
Oh, Yusis, where do we start from? I don't know if... During the week, like, I have lots of things to say and I can't wait for our recording sections so I can pour everything out. One thing that I saw that stuck with me was, what is wrong with people? I don't know if on TikTok you have seen anything trending about Ifinaya's testimony.
So Rashida, I saw it. I was just swiping because I'm tired of watching stories.
No, you cannot
part,
swipe
part, up to part 14. It was this
I
part.
Saw...
I said no.
You know,
so
you know me. You know me.
Wait,
I
now.
Took my time.
Wait,
I watched.
Wait.
Start. I have a transit trait. When I start something, I will finish it. I must go. Research.
So Rashida, for me, that I don't have that toxic trait. One lady, God will bless her for me.
I saw her. No, I want to see from the roots. Yes, it's no. I don't want that to gist me. I want to hear from the horse's mouth. Okay,
even the summary was triggering me. Talk more of the whole
thing.
No,
I wanted to hear from the horse's mouth was slow, but I really wanted to hear from first hand source. I don't want summary. What? You see. What is wrong with people? Father's side.
Rashida,
like, did they swear for him? Unfortunately, I am father's side. I am father's side. I have two boys. They will grow up to be father's side. Please, God, help us. Do they swear
Rashida,
for father's side?
And why is it always father's side?
Why is it always father's side? What is the problem with father's side? Father's side past father's side. When I heard Ifunaya's story, there's a level to the father's side.
See,
God. The thing is that it's too long of a story that you have to miss some parts of it. Like, you can't
definitely
see it the way it is. If you want to hear the story, you have to go and listen to her or listen to the summary or something. But it's too long a story.
Can you help us? Listeners, because
oh
I'm sure it's not everybody that's seen the Ifunaya story. Can you please tell us what happened?
So Ifunaya started this her series by putting a video of her in front of her father's house and screaming, Daddy, I'm here. Daddy, can you hear me? Daddy, I'm here. Just looking at it, I'm thinking, if the father had heard her from his room, I was just thinking how he would have felt if he was trying to stand up and get to the window or something. Like, that was what I was thinking. Ifunaya's family had lived abroad. They have lived in New York for a long time. The father father had worked for 25 years. And when he retired, he's like, you know how you say home is home and you always want to go back home. So he had retired.
I can't wait.
Home is where everything is. I want the peace and oh God. So he had retired.
Ashe.
Oh my God, you see, stop it. So when he retired in 2017, he said, I'm going home. The way she put it, she said he's going back home to live the Igbo boy dream. He has already built a house. He has a house. He has everything. Yeah. He has worked all these years and he is retiring home to go and live a chilled life in his big compound with his plants, his mango trees. And they are from Enugu State. And you know, they eat natural food down there. Beautiful. Their mangoes are
Igbo
good.
Igbo people have the best food in Nigeria.
They do have the best food. If you're looking for natural things, they have it down there.
Fresh,
clean, sweet. He moved back. And she said, when he moved back, she said she supported it. That who wouldn't support that kind of dream? You have your pension already. $5,000 is enough for you to live a big boy life back home anywhere.
Rashida, that's 7 point something million every month.
Every month, it's enough for you to live a big boy life. He went back. She said they were communicating. Everything was good. She was checking up on him. Of course, she has her life back here. Even if they're close, you know, it won't be as when you're seeing somebody physically.
Yes.
She has a job. And then she said the communication started ceasing. It went from talking every day to talking once a week to talking once a month to no communication. And it was getting out of hand. She couldn't communicate with her dad anymore. Then she decided, okay, this is too much. Let me fly down to Nigeria to come see my dad. At a point, she did not even know if her father was dead or alive. She said she had sent him an iPhone, or maybe she was trying her best while she was down there. And what I love with how she told the story was there was evidence. It was not like she was just saying
evidence. Boku,
you're not just saying it with her mouth. Like every part of her story, she had a picture, she had a video, she had something to back up her story. This was, how will I put it? It was like a documentary. No, she did an amazing job. You could not say, so what happened? Why is it that? No, she documented every bit of her journey, everything that happened. Amazing. So when she got to the front of the gate, she saw a pile of sand blocking the gates.
First.
That was the first thing. And immediately she got there, her uncle and her auntie came out. Don't forget, this is her father's compound. Like, she had every right to just enter. She could not enter. The uncle and the auntie came out and started prostitute.
You forgot another part. There was a pile of sand in front of the gate. And once you enter again, there's another sand. So no vehicle can enter the compound. Sand inside the compound.
No, you know what will happen?
Sand outside the gate.
You know how we'll do this story? The story is too long. I can't remember everything. So you hear me say some part, and you will continue from where I stop, so that this story will flow the way it's supposed to flow.
You know, Nigerians, they need this small details. It's what makes the story.
Exactly. We need to tell you this story in details. And how the part I forget, you hear Yusuf come in to say the part. We have to. It's a collaboration storytelling.
Na collabo. She tried calling the uncle. Nobody was picking and all that, right? The good thing is she didn't tell them she was coming to Nigeria. Lo and behold, bam, she landed. In front of the gate, tipa of sand was in front of the gate. She said, open ghetto, another sand again in the middle of the compound. So there's no way a car or now bicycle fit enter that. So they had plans. The next thing you know, uncle and auntie, as they saw her, the first thing, what are you doing here, you prostitute? When did you arrive the country? Because they didn't want to see her at all. She came, it was a shock. Why are you here? Next thing, they were picking up the sand and stoning her with it. You prostitute, where are you staying? Oh, no wonder you are a prostitute. Yeah, that's why you are staying in a hotel. What is all this? Where is my father? I want to talk to my papa. One thing I love about this girl, a real Igbo girl and a real Nigerian, she came with backup. And I think the father was a good person. And people in the community started suspecting. They're like, where is the man? It's only you people that were, where is the man? She wants to see her father. Where is the man? Oh, where is the man? They said the father is in Abuja. Somebody that she has not been able to contact in 6 months. Suddenly, the uncle called her that the father is here. She should talk to the father. It's fine. She said, no. It's not her father.
They started saying that, where was she? He had stroke.
You know, all these cheap emotional blackmail that relatives have. Fast forward, this lady, they were fighting her. She reported to the elder, someone, the auntie. Where is the man? She was not telling them that he had all these medical issues, blah, blah, blah. The auntie was not lying. Go and bring the medical reports. Auntie run away.
Auntie ran away.
Where uncle? They don't see uncle.
You know, the day she came, eventually, the community people came and they were saying that they should allow her enter. She finally entered the house.
Yes.
She saw her dad lying down on the bed.
Yes. So when they later came back with the community people, the youths, everything she does, there's police, vigilante. Kai, money is good though. If not money, she won't be able to do all these things.
No, because she was talking, I was just calculating all the expenses. I'm like, what? What? God forgive me.
Finally,
what she did was important, but the expenses was more important.
You actually need money. Fast forward, because we have to summarize. Sorry,
we have to summarize. Please, go anyway, watch it.
Finally,
if you can.
She went there with police, vigilante, youth, and everything. They had to bust inside the house, went upstairs. The room was locked. They had to break the door. As they broke the door, the man was lying on the floor. The man was lying on the floor, lips patched because he's thirsty, no food.
He was malnourished. Somebody that collects $5,000 a month, malnourished, no food. His legs were weak. He could not walk.
That they used to forget all this, about the man in the
You know all these polio children that their legs are? That was how a grown man became.
That they used to forget that he's in the room. When they remember, they will not give him something to eat. How wicked. Your own family, they seized his passport. They just wanted this guy
to kill
him. He refused to die.
They wanted him dead.
He refused to die. But then, Rashida, if he dies, where are they going to be getting that $5,000?
You did not finish the gist. So apparently, he had another brother in the United States. He was the mastermind behind all those things. There was another brother who he had brought in the 80s to come join him in the United States. He was the mastermind. His best friend was now involved. When she eventually got his document, his brother who was in the United States started sending threats to his best friend, saying that he has power of attorney over him, that this is a family issue, he should not get involved.
Yeah.
To cut the long story short, after she was able to take him to the United States of America, he was
that part, Rashida, because it's very, very important. So they seize his passport, right? There's no way for him to travel. Where is his passport, though? We don't know. The passport is not available. You hate Americans and hate the American system, but they did for very,
you
very
see why people are killing themselves to have two passports.
Double passport.
If he did not have two passports, that would have been the end of this man.
Of course, she went to the American embassy. She told them that the father cannot come to the embassy for any documentation. They followed the papa go hospital.
Yes. They gave him emergency.
24 hours.
Yes.
Passport was ready.
Yep. You see, this life. Oh.
That's how this girl rescued and saved her father. But to conclude, and if you go to the comment section, there's one observation. It's only a girl child that would do this for her father. If you put 10 children mixed.
She's a very strong girl.
She stood for her father to the end. But I noticed one thing. All this talk that we've been talking, where is the wife?
Oh, she said. So
are they separated?
She never mentioned. So when people were asking her about the mother, she said, this is her testimony that God used her to save her father. So everybody has their own story to tell, but this is her own part of the story that she's telling. That's why she did not involve her mother. Or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Her that was there. But she mentioned something. She said, you people are forgetting something. My mother was the one sending money. She was the one I was getting funds from the mother. So if the mother had not stayed back in the United States,
Wahala for somebody, Rashida, yeah, usually because he's been in the US since the 80s, mm, they have established a life, they've given, yeah, back to all their children and, yeah, all that. Now, yeah, you've decided to come back. Most of these ladies, she knows what is happening in Nigeria.
Yeah, she will say she didn't want to, yeah, relocate, maybe, yeah, back with, she, yes, didn't like the idea.
She didn't want, yeah, she didn't like the idea of him coming back. And him, maybe this wicked uncle that wanted to kill him, they're the one now putting street talk. Yeah, yeah. Now, how can you be living in a foreign land? Come to your fatherland, you'll be living like a king. They pushed him to relocate back to Nigeria.
Let me tell you, when she finally took him to the United States, they put him in a care home so that he will have all his therapy sessions because there was, yeah, trauma and everything.
Ah, we that listened to it were traumatized. Talk not more to... of the person that went through it, my sister.
As if she had known. She told them that she was the one in charge. She's the one that has power of attorney over her father. Anybody that comes to the hospital, they should notify her. Lo and behold, guess who came to the hospital?
Now the uncle, now
the uncle and the wife, they came with a document for him to sign. They locked the door, yes, and they were trying for him to sign something. This was where everybody now realized that uncle that was in the United States with him is the mastermind, yes, behind everything. He's the one. So the story has not ended. She said that was even the beginning of everything, that the story. So there's still more parts to come. If you want to go and hear the story, go and hear the story. But
yeah,
it's just
that for Ifunaya's story, you can never miss it on TikTok.
Just if you just put Ifunaya's story, you will hear it. You'll be shouting, hey, ha. People, human beings. You see, hey, what annoys me with this story is that this is not a poor man.
Not at all.
So you
not
know you how all. You will say that, okay, maybe because he was poor. You know, he had trained his child. That's why it's good to train your children. Why you give birth to children?
And be close to them.
And be close to them.
You know, because this man has been a fantastic father. Rashida, don't forget, it's on this podcast.
Yes,
that we'll
even
say,
if he was not a fantastic father.
No, he a girl is. Child, he had to be.
But
he is. He had to be.
I want to point out that a girl child will always be a girl child.
Yes, but Rashida, we will not forget to add this. We've seen a lot of times they will have this pulled on, so is it Twitter or Instagram? Will you be willing to marry a man like your father?
No, the answer is God forbid. But you see, the thing is that no matter how bad a father is, sometimes there's this thing in your heart as a girl child. I don't know about a boy child, because I'm not a boy, I wouldn't know. But there's this thing that you always accept in an extreme case. But there's this
thing, maybe he abused the mother, really suffered the mama.
Because there are sometimes that a father will maltreat a mother and the mother is still living with the father. But because of the fact that the mother is still living with the father, that means there's something still there.
I disagree.
No, because your mother is still there, you can still...
Rashida, there are a lot of women that cannot live because they don't have any option. It's not that there's anything good that's left there.
I'm not saying that there's anything good there, but because of the fact that your mother is still there, you still extend it to the father. I was watching one Korean movie and it was the same thing, and there was this episode, the man was abusive, he saw the woman as worthless, like he was not a good father, so they thought he was just there. It was an outburst, and he was saying, the only reason why I still respect you, and this was not even the girl, the only reason why I still respect you is that my mom is still in this house. So there's this little bit of extension. You have your walls up. I'm just trying to say that as a girl child, you still have that soft spot no matter what. You cannot be that hard, like you are just that hard. You still...
Anyway, Rashida, I don't want us to drag this thing, Sha. There's different dimension to these things, right?
Not in one way. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So,
yeah.
Well, go and check it out. And it's wicked.
The heart of man
this
is really
world
wicked.
Is wicked.
No, the heart of man is terrible. I've listened to the prophet stories. I've seen wickedness. But in this modern age, this type of wickedness.
Rashida, we know the stories of families. And I'm not trying to be tribalistic or anything. But these stories of families killing their abroad relative is mostly, the ones that we have heard, though, is mostly from the eastern side. I know stories for days. There's this particular man. Same thing, Rashida. His own is... I think the Igbo people, right, they love coming back home. There's this pride or bragging right, like, you know, that's why they have a, they say, befitting burial. The burial is the burial. But you know, Igbo people have befitting burial where you come and show off and all that. Point is, there's this man, the same thing.
Wait, why are the sister and the brothers in that house? And you forgot to mention that they were building another section in somebody's else compound.
Oh, Rashida. The man, they have already, they know the man would die now. It's possible that this man only has girls. And you know the Igbo culture, a girl doesn't inherit. You're not inheriting anything. So they must have done all this calculation and be putting the pieces together. And why would the uncle in the US go with a document for the man to sign if he has a son? So it's possible that this man only have girl child.
I trust internet people. Everybody started doing research. They started putting clips. Brother abroad in particular has four girls. Yes. He's married to a white woman. So they were trying to use another person's property. His wife was involved. Two of them went to the hospital together. So they've already planned. The story is...
So he even taught the Oyinbo woman how to be wicked. Let me not forget this story.
Sorry,
so few years back, there's this man, the same story. I'm tired of living abroad. I'm old. I'll get all my money or some of my money, come and retire at home. I'll die in the midst of my people. Meanwhile, you know, there's this story. We hear it all the time. Before they retire, they start planning like 10 years ahead, right? They start sending money to build their houses. So usually they put their siblings in charge, you know, relative in charge. Rashida, this one was his brother. So he has been sending this money for him to build a house for him. But he hadn't had the chance to come back to Nigeria. So it's only pictures, you know, they will just go to any construction site. They'll be sending pictures and videos. This man came back to Nigeria with the wife, like unexpectedly. I'm in town. You're in town. Yes, come on. I'm in so hotel. Really? That's how this idiot rushed. He was living like, you are doing very good for yourself. Yes, brother, blah, blah, blah. But this hotel that you are living is no good now. Let me take you to a better hotel. Rashida, he picked this brother and wife to that said hotel. That's how he killed them.
Both of them.
Because there was no house anywhere. Yeah. So if they had known, would they come back to Nigeria?
They came back to their death.
When he killed them. There are so many stories of you sending money to relatives to build houses for you.
And they misused.
They would chop
funds,
the money,
yes.
Clean mouth. No remorse whatsoever.
Yes.
And this word, your sweat, hard-earned money. If you want to see hard-earned money, you live abroad. That is the definition of your sweat. Because nobody is giving you a penny free of charge.
They are even trying to collect from you.
Sending you money from abroad, they have already squeezed you with tax and everything. If anybody is sending you money from abroad, even if it's $1, £1, please, it's their sweat. Thank them very well. You are not entitled to it. It's not your entitlement. And you know, the way Nigeria is now, people are becoming criminal-minded. Any small thing. I don't know why is it that the default setting of Nigeria is to cheat the next person.
Yes!
Why?
Yes!
The default setting of a Nigerian is to cheat the next person. They call
smart.
It smartness.
You must be
you
smart.
Are not smart. You are a thief.
Yeah,
you
I'm
are a
robber.
Criminal. You are
an armed robber. It's so bad that you want to buy something from somebody. You are saying that this person is a business owner, a small business owner. You want to buy something from them, and then you are trying to like reduce it. Oh, please, I'm buying two. What are we even saying here? Yeah, this is like the stores where we buy things. And you go to the store and you see the Africans trying to negotiate, trying to say, oh, this plantain is bad. Please, can you give me four for £1? And this is the price. They put the price there. Pick what you want and leave. But no, a Nigerian will always try to be smart. What will one added plantain do for your life?
I don't know.
This tomato we have put them, it's £1 each. Pick £1 each. How many do you want? They say, no. Let me take three for £2. You see them negotiate, and you're hearing the man saying, no, it's £1. He doesn't understand what you're doing. It's £1, it's £1.
Yes.
And what annoys me is that the Nigerians start like for me, right? That why the hell won't you sell it for me at that price? Like, why? Why? She wanted to buy okra. She had gone, she has handpicked the okra she wants, she has broken them to get the fresh ones. They weighed it for her. They said it was £2.50. She said, no, I'm going to pay £2 for it. The man put it on the way. He said, look at it. This is the amount. She said, no. Okay, remove it. I don't want it. The man removed it and he kept it. She said, I've already broken it. The man said, don't worry. Oh, but I need the okra. She said, put it. Just take. I just came to buy a few things. And she was right in front of me, wasting this time. I just wanted to pick something and leave. And she was wasting all this time trying to be smart. Why are you trying to be smart? Buy what you want and go.
Anshina, I'm tired. Even from your narration, I'm tired.
Oh God.
Anshina, let's move on to something. We can start talking about the character of a Nigerian person, right? We'll not finish. Please, me, I'm tired. You people should go and listen to the Ifunanya story. You know that this life, anybody can shock you. You have to be prayerful.
You have to be prayerful. Are you too? You have a touch of wickedness. You can't be kind to everybody. You can't save everybody. You are not Jesus
it's
Christ.
It's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility. Save anybody. Rashida, please, all this diplomatic talk is not your job.
Let them say you are wicked. They'll be fine. Have you not heard of cases of people that you're living abroad? People will be taxing you for money and everything.
The more we are growing, right? The more we are getting older. I'm getting realized. It's wicked people that are having peace of mind in this life.
It's them.
They are sleeping so soundly.
Please.
You are busy thinking for 1 hour before you sleep. Them.
Why?
The moment their head touches the pillow, they have
done. They have slept.
Wicked people. Very.
Like.
Bad ones who bet you okay.
Like, tell me that I'm wicked. Me, I used to sleep peacefully. Where the time to sleep? I don't care about you because you don't care about me. So it's 50-50. I give you the same energy you give me. Nobody care about anybody. Let us continue like that. The only person that I'm worried about is Allah being angry with me. If Allah is not angry with me, to hell with
everybody will be fine.
I'm sounding like a broken record. Like I said this last week. Like, it's true. People just annoy me.
No, it's true.
And why do you think that people avoid people? People avoid, they'll come and tell you, oh, you need a community, you have to keep friends, you have to do this. That's how they'll be showing you premium shaggy. You have 10 friends. Those 10 friends will be showing you premium shaggy one after the other.
We are getting older. It's not everybody that you meet because you have good conversation that is supposed to be your friend.
Yeah.
If you notice, the older you get, the people that remain your friend, maybe probably the ones, the friends that you had in primary school, and they remain true. Then there are some people in some exceptional cases. You meet them and it's like they love you. They have your interests at heart. Like, oh my God. Where have you been? But then there are few. You cannot be one person and tell me you have 20 friends. How are you having 20 friends? We have neighbors, we have acquaintances, and we have friends, and we have family. Then there are some friends that even turn to family. Things they will fight for you to the end. Your blood relations cannot do it. You understand? So we have that. But not everybody must be your friend. You can have good relation, you know, but they must not be your friends. It's not everybody that must have that friend benefit. Any small person is your friend.
Please, let us move from Ifunanya's story. I want to read this post. This post is a bit long. Yeah, I wanted us to talk about it. I've mentioned her before, Diary of a Nigeria Girl. Somebody sent her a post. Got my ear standing. It's a bit long. So she said, I just wanted to share my story. I'm going through something deep and painful, and I really love to share mine. Free myself. Maybe it can help someone else who is silently suffering. I got married at the age of 24. Before the wedding, I went to the hospital to do fertility tests. My fiancé then, now my husband, accompanied me. My results came back perfectly fine. And the doctor asked if my fiancé had done any fertility tests before. And I said no. They suggested he do one too. A few weeks later, we got his results. He was diagnosed with azoospermia, a rare fertility condition where no sperm is present. It was shocking. But I love him deeply and I believed in our future together. I thought he was special and I didn't think I would find that kind of connection again. So despite the news, I married him. He later convinced me to relocate to the UK, saying it would help with his condition. I never wanted to leave Nigeria, but I agreed, hoping we would find a solution. I started working and contributing to the house rent. My marriage hadn't even lasted a year when I experienced physical abuse. He beat me and smashed a glass on me, leaving me bleeding in the hospital. His mother begged me not to involve the police, and out of fear and respect for his life, I kept quiet.
Love again.
Later on, his words became emotionally damaging. During arguments, he would repeatedly say, leave my house, and remind me that everything belongs to him. That made me stop paying rent because I felt I had no say despite supporting him. In August last year, I had an appendix surgery that almost took my life. Hmm. Around that time, we almost confirmed that his azoospermia was obstructive and incurable. The only option left was IVF with sperm donor. At first, I found it hard to accept using a donor, not because of fear of judgment, but because I had always pictured having children with my husband and seeing our future in our child. But after everything I had endured, I accepted and started IVF in October. And after Christmas, I had the embryo transfer. The doctor advised I stay back in Nigeria until mid-January to allow the pregnancy settle, but my husband insisted I return to the UK with him in the first week of January. I didn't want to argue. The pregnancy test came back positive. I was happy, not because life was perfect, but because it gave me some hope after all the pain. But soon after I started bleeding, we discovered it was an ectopic pregnancy and I had to undergo another surgery where I lost one of my fallopian tubes. I had to sign the surgery consent for myself in pain. After surgery, I was broken. I cried constantly, but my husband showed no care as expected. It was just like a normal thing to him. He returned to his games, his Twitter space, as if nothing serious had happened. I was completely alone in pain. From August to January, I went through appendix surgery, IVF, embryo transfer, ectopic pregnancy, another major surgery, all within 6 months. I was completely mentally, emotionally, physically drained. By March, we were barely speaking. I wasn't okay mentally or emotionally. I began questioning everything. Marrying him, relocating, agreeing to IVF, I couldn't even return to work. Despite that, I never expected the rent issue to resurface. After everything I just went through, from surgery to emotional breakdown, at that point, I had barely even healed. I hadn't resumed work yet, and I was planning to start work again in April until he went as far as telling my mother over the phone that if I couldn't pay the house rent, I would have to go and live in a separate place. Paying rent was never the issue. The real issue was that I was paying rent in a house where I was constantly reminded it didn't belong to me. Only he could go out without explaining where he was going. But I couldn't leave the house without telling him every single details. I wasn't allowed to leave the key behind the door, but he could. It always felt like I was just a guest in a place I was helping to sustain. Now I am about to be 30. I feel completely drained. I have given everything, my body, my tube, my mental health, and received nothing in return. Not even the smallest sign of appreciation or understanding for the pain and sacrifice I went through. None of it was ever about money. It was about love, loyalty, support, but not once did he show he truly saw or valued me. Can he return the years I gave? Can he return the part of myself I have lost in all of this? And that was where she ended this. I say, wow.
It was indeed a long one, heartbreaking one. So when you were reading, there was so many, like, before you ended the second paragraph, I say, not by force. She kept reiterating, you know, and anyway, we don't know where people come from, the kind of upbringing, the kind of support they have, the societal pressure they are afraid of, the stigma that they're scared of and all that, you know, so many things. But as you kept reading, I'm like, is it not enough? So this person had the issue, which we know if the reverse was the case, that marriage will not even hold. As you are leaving that hospital, you will not see him. He is going to block your number. He is blocking your number. And I'm sure the mother knows of his fertility issue. That's why she's begging her, don't call the police. There is always a woman that is supporting them. Mother, sister, or something. There is always a woman there. Always. There must be a woman emboldening them. But then you left your life thinking, being hopeful, if you go to another country, you might get, you know, treatment for this fertility issue. And the abuse starts. What is the point of the beating? I don't understand. So this lady, because me, I'm confused. Okay, you're the one with the issue. I left my life, I agreed to marry you and all.
Please
that.
Help me know, see this,
you know, because
trouble.
I'm being hopeful and you are beating
help
me.
Help me see this.
She's
trouble.
Still calling love again. Women can be stupid. I'm sorry to say, Rashida.
I don't want to point a finger
in our bubble.
You see, God gave you the first sign.
She created, sign. We do this a lot.
That was a sign for you. You and said no. You know that your own story will be different. That is why they say, be wicked. You don't want to be wicked. If you were a wicked person, wouldn't you have left him? What were you trying to prove?
If she was wicked, you'd be begging her every day because she will expose him. We do this. There's this vivid imagination we have in her mind now. No, this is not him. He's not the person I know. No, he's going to change. He's something. So there's this image of him that she has created in her mind. She doesn't want to let go of. Okay, you didn't know him as an abusive person before, you know, before the marriage and everything during your relationship. Now, the man they beat you, they took you glass. Yes, still saying my husband.
5 years.
You have that nonsense. Yes, is that title.
And I want to point out something. You know, I don't want to...
Make you not kill her.
You know what? When I read things like this, I don't want to act as if I'm smarter than her. This is her story.
That's
and
why
this,
I started off by saying, we don't know, where she grew up, the support, and then all that.
You know, when sometimes when people say their story.
There are things that are black and white, Rashida.
Exactly.
Abuse is involved. An abusive person will continue to be an abusive person. Oh, it's as easy as that. We've seen a lot of ladies say, they'll tell her, this man, they beat women. Oh, this is in our habit. No, he loves me. He's going to change until you start receiving your own dose of blood.
He has already known that this one, no matter what I do, she's going to stay in this marriage. You know, you have given, you have showed him your weakest points.
Why?
I want to point out that in this her write-up, I did not see that she has left this marriage. She's only saying that she has turning 30, and this was what happened to her in the last 5 years.
The end, the way she was saying it, is like, okay, finally, as I'm reaching this age, I'm turning a new leaf. I'm leaving this.
I hope
this
so.
Shit.
I hope so.
I pray so. Next one now is her sister or her brother that will come and be telling us that they have killed her now.
Please, God.
And
I hope
the thing is,
leaving.
We are even living in a system that works.
You know they take good women for granted. You know what? She's looking at, you know how men misbehave here and somebody is already looking to call the police. At the moment you call the police and they write a statement, it has entered your record for life.
It did the record for forever and ever.
And she's already thinking of his well-being, saying that, okay, she doesn't want to involve the police so that it will not spoil his record.
Rashida, for everything you do, there's a consequence.
There's a consequence.
You as a person, it's not your job to say people should not face the consequences of their action.
Yes.
Not be your work. That's why he kept on doing what he's doing.
Yes.
Then the second thing that continues to irritate me, you keep repeating it, and I think we've said it so many times on this podcast. My house. House when I rent. Na rent you the rent.
You'll be so triggered by that, my house. Yeah, and it makes sense.
Because people that actually own houses, they don't say it.
You know, I never thought about it that renters. Way. You started saying
it. No, think about it. People that own houses, they don't say, my house.
Yes.
But you see, renters.
Yes.
You, that landlord, if you want now, today, you come and pour sand in the middle of the house.
I say, what do you renovate?
Come and off roof.
Yep.
You know, some tenants, they'll say, I don't want to go, let's say, na your papa house. You'll be making out, my house, leave my house, this is my house. And this one is even worse. She was paying part of the rent.
Stop paying and it became a problem.
See, this is a partnership. It's our home. This is the place where you're supposed to feel the safest. But they are always mocking you, you know. Oh, you're always triggered at any moment. They're going to throw this word at you. It's my house. You will leave my house. What the hell? Even if she's not the wife, when you have a good relationship, even if it's a friend, you don't do that.
No.
But my point is, up to now, what is the problem? What is the issue?
I really don't
Why
understand.
Why does he despise her? Why does he hate her?
For somebody that decided...
What is the issue?
For somebody that decided to stay with you, with your default.
Why does he suddenly hate her?
He hates her because she stayed with him.
It's true, Sha. You see where wicked girls, they enjoy her. I'm Rashida,
he hates
I'm
her because
tired.
She decided to stay with him with all his issues.
Yeah. My sister, I wish you all the best, but I hope and I pray for your own sake. This realization, this epiphany that you had at the age of 30 will save you. An
Amen.
Abuser will always be an abuser.
Yes, sis, we are even forgetting
all
one part.
The best.
She got married early. They say marry early. She married at 25. What
now,
did she
by
do?
That one,
what did she do that was wrong? Now she has
by,
in five.
Is it by that one?
In 5 years, mentally, psychologically, physically, emotionally.
The thing she's gone through. You, some people that are 50, they have not gone through it.
My dear,
or even 6 years.
Your tube.
In
you have lost
she has
your
gone through
tube
it all.
In five years.
And some people now, when they post picture, they be doing you know, she's living in bondage. I wish you people could see.
No, no.
You know that old people post, she just put her hand on her
Ah,
forehead. She
no,
bent
no.
it. See,
Oh, God.
Rashida, women are going through things. And
Yeah.
my usual advice,
Yeah.
ladies, if you like, put yourself
If you like
first.
yourself, please.
If you like, don't put
No,
yourself
please.
first.
No,
But it's very easy.
we have to put ourselves
It's
first. You
easy.
see, you have to. You
No,
just have
but you.
to.
You cannot force anybody now, Rashida. It's a choice that you have to be intentional, personally make it yourself. It's either you make it intentionally or the world will teach you and you make it. So you decide, wait for the world to teach you, learn the lesson before you do it, or start putting yourself. Even when you put yourself first, Rashida, there are some blocks that you have to be jumping. There are some hoops. Do you understand? It's not like it's still. So imagine, because no matter what a man does in this life, wasn't on Twitter, somebody that killed his whole family, one lady is marrying him now. She will tell you now she is special, that him, no,
He has changed. Give him second
he has
chance.
changed. She's going to change. So you see, but you, at what expense? You might end up losing your life. No matter what a man does, there's a legion of people, plethora of people that will support him and all that. Nobody's saying you should fight people, no,
There's a
but please,
Hausa saying
why
that
must they even
says,
beg you to put yourself first?
There's a
Is it
Hausa
not common
saying
sense?
men's bad character is like fashion.
It's Kanchiga Danamiji
Yeah, I just gave you direct
Say
translation.
the nonsense when men they do now makeup. Anyway, Rashida, me, my own, no, I've said it, ladies. Trust in God, be prayerful. Once you know between you and your God, everything is okay. Please, everybody, last, everybody will be fine.
Everybody will
But
be
take care of
fine.
yourself, please.
Yeah. I wish her
Please.
all the
Please.
healing. This
I
one,
do too.
it's a long life damage that has been done. She just needs to heal from it. That's.
And before I forget something, Rashida, please, I need to add this. Women that go through IVF and even natural birth, we have seen it so many times, they have lifelong permanent injury. You see women that one eye don't go, or the whole teeth don't go, you have permanent back pain, and so many health issues that you will live with it for the rest of your life because of that process only. So
And it's always
please and
developing.
please.
Sometimes it
Yes.
doesn't come immediately. Sometimes it comes
No.
later.
It's not easy. Please take care of yourself. I wish this lady all the best,
Yeah, I
Rashida.
wish her all the
Hi,
best.
you read today's topic, Sha,
Yeah,
Rashida.
before we go, we want to say a prayer for those that lost their life in the
Oh my God.
aircraft.
Ha,
Yeah.
another sad one.
Another sad one. Oh, it
Ha, may their
was.
souls
May
rest
their
in peace,
souls rest in
Rashida.
peace.
But God is God.
God
How
is
can
God.
one person survive that thing, Rashida? Seat 11A.
Seat 11A. And I recently saw that there was another person that survived another crash. Was it in 1982 or something? Please don't quote me. He was sitting on that same seat, 11A, and he
People will now be
survived.
fighting for that seat. You
He
know, we can be
survived. Yes, we can very
superstitious.
be serious. So this is the second time somebody on that seat has
It's
survived.
really sad.
Really
The
sad.
plane was just in the air for 30 seconds.
Yes, I know, I know.
May their soul rest in peace.
May their soul rest in peace. Thank you guys so much for listening this far. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did recording it. Please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Please share to your family, share to your friends. Please give us your humble review.
You can kindly follow us on all our social media handles. It's at the Chill Sisters Podcast, both on Instagram and TikTok. You can watch us on YouTube. Rashida, I'm even down.
Yeah,
Guys,
I can hear from your voice.
it was a stressing one, So thank you for listening thus far, guys.